Welcome to Christian News in Focus, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church. Your host is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis of news and current events from a biblical worldview. Here with this week's edition of Christian News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good day and welcome to this edition of Christian News in Focus. I am your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You can look us up on the web at ohioca.org. You can also phone us at 330-887-1922. Last week, we talked about election reform and voter fraud with Brian Williams, former director of the Summit County Board of Election. And there was a story that broke this week nationally out of Hamilton County, Ohio. That's in the Cincinnati area, of a woman who has voted maybe up to six times, who was a poll worker. And she claims that she had registered thousands of people to vote, but that she had voted twice. By her own admission, and may have voted multiple times. And that's going to be more of a report in future programs. But as I mentioned last week, we're continuing with a citizen's audit of the local boards of election by pulling memo sheets and incident reports and taking personal testimony, the evidence of which we will present to the Ohio legislature in the next month or so. So if you have a story, we want you to email us at contact@ohioca.org. That's contact@ohioca.org or phone us at 330-887-1922. We want to hear what you've witnessed or problems that you had at the polling locations, either with a machine or provisional ballot, or maybe you think that you've witnessed voter fraud. We want to know about it. And we're going to report to the Secretary of State and the officials in Columbus and hopefully make some changes for the good in Ohio's election laws. Well, I want to talk about this week, of course, the big news is Governor Kasich gave his State of the State address, and this time he did it in Lima, Ohio. Last year, he held the State of the State in Steubenville, Ohio, and this is actually kind of a new phenomena in my time at the State House of having governors hold the State of the State anywhere else than the Ohio State House. In fact, we put out an email message this week about that. We said, Governor, we want to hear what you have to say. We just want to hear it at the Ohio State House. I mean, the Ohio State House is, of course, a wonderful government building in which we as taxpayers have invested a lot of time and treasure and our tax money in so that the Ohio General Assembly can gather there. And it is centrally located so that each representative could make the journey easily to the State House and be present for assembly of the House and Senate and to conduct their business. The governor obviously wants to take the government to the people on the road, and he had to have request of the General Assembly to do so. But we made clear in our statement to the governor that we think it would be best suited to be at the Ohio State House, especially this year when he has rolled out a budget plan that is the most comprehensive and complicated change in Ohio's election tax structure and government that we've seen in a generation. And with me on the phone to discuss some of the details is State Senator Larry Oboff of Ohio's 22nd District, and to talk about what the budget actually entails and what discussions will be going on at the State House in the coming weeks and as they hear testimony from various Ohioans across the state. Again, with me on the phone is State Senator Larry Oboff. Larry, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, Senator, obviously last night was a great event out there in Lima, Ohio. It seemed I was watching it online. I wanted to go to the State House, as I normally do, to represent the membership of the Ohio Christian Alliance, to be present and then report back to our churches of what the proposal would be, whether it was during the Taft administration, the Strickland administration, now in the Kasich administration. And the governor dropped his budget last week, which includes a large Medicaid expansion program. Never thought I'd see a standing Republican governor wanting to expand Medicaid, but nevertheless, here it is. In addition to that, he wants to change the tax structure of Ohio. He wants to give a cut in income tax, state income tax, that has been with us, by the way, since 1971 when it was voted into law. Prior to that, it was state sales tax that funded government, state government. And then we shifted to the state income tax. Now what he's wanting to do is to give us a cut in state income tax and to broaden the base, share the load, as it were, with a whole new list of 81 that I'm seeing in this article, 81 new taxable services in Ohio. A few of them would be accounting services, legal services, haircuts, sporting events. The list goes on. Your thoughts on this?
Sure. Well, I think there are a number of different major reforms proposed in the budget, and if we break it down by subject area, we have higher education and primary and secondary education funding, certainly K through 12 and college. In addition to that, we've got the Medicaid issue, which is a substantial portion of the state's budget, even before the Affordable Care Act was passed, and which may become more substantial, or which at least the governor's proposing in this budget. And then we have the tax reform issues. And I think since that was the last one that you mentioned, I think, Chris, that was the one that you were asking about. There are a number of different things we're going to have to do over the next few months. This is pretty complex, actually, and important enough and complex enough that in the Senate, we won't receive the budget for about 6 to 8 weeks. But we're going to start having hearings on it almost immediately. In the House right now, they have the budget. They're going through the process. They're having hearings, and they will be making amendments. It's important for your listeners to understand that what the governor proposes is not the final product. It's just the proposal, and that this is the beginning of a 5 or 6 month process. So the House is going to be working on this for the next month and a half or 2 months, and the Senate's starting to look at the tax reform issues now. And that's because, as you mentioned, there will be a significant income tax cut, or at least the governor has proposed a significant income tax cut, and actually has proposed a sales tax cut of 0.5%. Currently, the state sales tax is 5.5%, and the governor's proposal, we would lower that to 5%, but increase the number of activities, economic activities that are taxed, so that we cover services instead of merely selling and buying goods.
Well, let me say from the outset, I don't have an opinion so much as to the tax plan. I'm basically, you know, it's funny, the governor's office called, they've been calling a lot of folks, and they called our office and asked, what's your opinion of the governor's budget? And I said, well, it's complex, it's detailed, there's a lot of moving pieces and parts here. We're going to have to look it over. And what I started doing was talking to some people, starting with our board, starting with my accountant, our bank, my banker, looking at my own situation. For instance, mm-hmm. consulting fees, legal fees, accounting fees, and the miss and match of how this would work. If I get a cut, for instance, it's my income tax level, but I'm going to be paying more in hidden taxes with the service fees of my accounting services, my legal services, advertisement. And I looked at the list, and so I can see in the list of 81, I'm going to be assessed tax in a number of things that I use throughout the year. And I think that's what people are trying to weigh out right now, how this would actually work.
And I think that's one of the things that we're really struggling with, too, is trying to figure out how it would work and how it would affect everybody. One of the things that I've heard and I've seen some numbers on, but I haven't seen any real hard data yet on, is the idea that this would actually make the system less progressive, so that people at the upper income levels might get a substantial reduction in the taxes that they owe because the income tax is going down. But for a family making $18,000 or $19,000 a year, if you're paying all of these new sales taxes, maybe it's a tax increase for them. And I don't think that's the direction overall that we want to head in. So really we need to drill down on the numbers and see what the actual results of these policies will be. And I think that what's interesting about this issue in particular is that we can look to some other states that have tried things like this before. And I believe Michigan is one and Florida is another. And there may be one or two other states out there who have tried to broaden the sales tax base in a way that would cover services. And I think that in most of the instances, it hasn't really worked. There are a few states like Hawaii that I think aren't really comparable to Ohio for a lot of different reasons, you know, size being one of them, geography being another one. Ohio certainly is surrounded by what we could consider competitor states, where if our climate tax-wise or our business climate became less hospitable, you could see businesses and you could see individual people moving to Indiana or Michigan or Pennsylvania because they're right across the border, where a place like Hawaii doesn't really have that. So we need to look at what's happened in other states and how it's worked and maybe try to examine the reasons why states like Michigan and Florida that thought about this path eventually changed their mind and decided to not go that way.
You know, one of the things last night I heard the governor's speech, which he didn't give a lot of detail. I'd say of the over hour-long presentation of his State of the State, he shared a lot of review of his first 2 years in his administration. Some of the things that they've done, they've increased jobs. They've lowered taxes. You know, of course, with our help, they helped to eliminate the Ohio estate tax. We've been working on that for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're obviously very happy to see the demise of Ohio's estate tax for farmers and small business and individuals. We just think that was a good way to go, to tax someone as they're being put in the grave. That money, the Bible says that a good man layeth up an inheritance to his children's children, according to Proverbs. And so we didn't think that it was biblically correct that the state should be taxing someone after their demise. So there's other ways to go about that. Now, I thought one of the positive things after the speech of the governor last night was the Senate president and the Speaker of the House, Bill Batchelder, got up to the microphone in a press conference. And I got more out of the after-speech press conference of the details of how this will work itself out through legislation. That's why we're taking time on today's program. And, Senator, I want to thank you for coming on, because this begins the discussion in a positive way, how this is going to affect families. And I think that, you know, as we're looking at the economic realities of, you know, on the federal level and on the state level, and families are sitting around and they're cutting their own budgets and living within a budget, the state is doing the same thing. Now, to the governor's credit, his first budget went well, and he, as he mentioned, there was a very small rainy day fund when he first inherited the governor's office and began working his budget. And now what's the size of the rainy day fund currently?
I believe that it's projected by the end of this biennium to be about $1.9 billion.
Yeah, see.
And
so,
when Governor Kasich started, I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't
go ahead.
Interrupt.
Yeah.
When Governor Kasich started, it was 89 cents. And I know that it was 89 cents because the finance director, one of the staffers who works a lot on the budget in the Senate, actually doubled it by sending a check to the state for 89 more cents.
Well,
I think we're in a much better position now.
Well, what we call rainy day fund, we should call those are revenues that have come in and above the cost of what the budget is, and I'd like to see that even applied to the current, the upcoming budget, or to give the Ohio taxpayers some kind of refund or tax cut to offset since we're doing better as a state. But that being said, I think what was positive is when Senator Faber, Senate President, stated that we're going to start committee hearings already. We're not going to wait for the House to send over their version. They're busily working the plan over in the House, but we're going to start crunching the numbers over in the Senate. I think that's only wise. I was very encouraged by that, because I think what we're seeing then is that we're going to be proactive. We want to see, get our numbers people in there. We want to go over these numbers. We want to get this right. We want to hear from as many people as possible how this will affect them. Let's talk to accountants. Let's talk to attorneys. I mean, one of the suggestions that I was thrown at me over the weekend was that, you know, in a large law firm, for instance, here in Cleveland, if it's a large law firm that has locations in Pittsburgh and other places in Indiana, if it's a tax burden in Ohio for the servicing fees that would be applied, they would just simply downsize their Ohio staff and then increase the workload in other places just to avoid the tax. Well, that's not a net gain of jobs. That's losing jobs. And the same would be true with accounting services. I've talked to people in advertisement. Here we are on the radio today. You know, I don't think the radio industry is ready to see the taxation of advertisements. So I think a lot of folks probably want to weigh in on this thing as time goes on. But they want to see what the numbers are, how it mixes and matches, and how it will work itself out.
I think that's right. And those are the types of issues that we want to look at over the next few months. The reason that we're planning to start hearings early is first because we work well with the House of Representatives, and just because we don't start with the budget and there's an order and a procedure that it has to go through, doesn't mean that we can't look at the issues now. And this is a collaborative effort between everybody, so we all want to work together, no matter which chamber the bill is in, so that we can use the full 5 months that we have to do what we need to do to get the best policy for the state of Ohio. Second, I think that we really do want to get a jump on this because these issues are so big and so complex that it's not really fair to the people of the state if we sit back and wait for something to be thrown in our lap and then at the end of April or the beginning of May say, okay, we've got 28 days to get this passed, or we have 35 days to get this passed. I think the best thing to do is use all the time we have available to start drilling down some of the numbers and the policies and decide what makes sense and what doesn't. And some of the potential examples that you gave are things that we need to worry about. We need to ask ourselves, if we change the tax structure of the state, will that make neighboring states more competitive? Will that mean that large law firms or large accounting firms start to send business to their offices in other states and simply shift the work away from one place to another? Will businesses that are in Cincinnati or that are near the border with Indiana potentially consider moving to Indiana or moving to Kentucky? You know, these are the things that we have to think about, because I think that the governor's plan is well intentioned and a lot of time and thought has gone into it. But we need to make sure that things work the way that we expect them to, and with every policy, and certainly with economic policies and particularly tax issues, you have what we call externalities. You have unintended consequences, and we want to know as much as possible about what those consequences might be before we decide to go in one direction or another.
Well, you bring up the competition of the states, and we saw in the news this week, for instance, when Governor Perry of Texas went to California because of their high tax burden, and it was trying to woo businesses out of California and saying, come on to Texas, you're welcome, and we got a low tax rate, we got a lot of resources here, we got a lot of open air, and you'll love it in Texas. So it's not as if states are going to sit by. There's a new battleground of the states, and so if Ohio doesn't get this right, some of our border states here in the Great Lakes region or elsewhere will pick up on that, and they'll actually entertain some of our companies and corporations that we have here and try to woo them away. Now, I know that Governor Kasich is aware of that. I know that he wants to do the right thing. He wants to build jobs. He wants to be a job creator and build the whole climate for Ohio. He made that case known last night. But getting it right in details is so important for members of the Ohio Senate and legislature to pour this over. But they're going to need your input. And I would encourage folks to call their state representatives and their state senator to let them know how they view this tax. And I've talked to some people, again, like I talked to my accountant today, and he said it would complicate the billing process, that it would put more workload upon him. Now, one of the provisions I think that's going on down at the State House is to uniform county taxes. This is a municipal tax, in other words.
Yes.
That's a great proposal. I've heard nothing but positives about that of small businesses that do work, contracting work in several municipalities within a county, but they all have different tax structures. This would be a proposal to uniform that, which would streamline and help with the burdensome regulation that local business has so that they could do a better job in being the job creators, because small businesses are the ones who make the lion's share of new jobs.
Yes, and that's going to be a very important issue over the next 6 months, and that's one that I think will find a lot of support both from the governor and from both sides of the legislature, or at least I'm hopeful that it will. If you look at the way Ohio's tax system works at the local level, it's incredibly complex. It's very difficult, I think, to comply with and expensive to comply with, because essentially local governments can charge their own tax rates. Some of them may have a different definition of earned income, so that the amount of income that's being taxed is actually able to vary depending on which municipality you're filing the local taxes in. They may have a different filing date, so some places might say April 15th, like the federal deadline. Other ones might say June 30th or October 1st or any other date. And what this creates, unfortunately, for businesses that have multiple locations, and especially for small businesses, it's difficult for both, but large businesses can hire armies of lawyers and accountants, and it drives up their costs, but ultimately they can handle the compliance, I think, to a large degree. Although the added expense, you know, that's money that could be going into growing the business and hiring more people.
Well, that's
for small businesses, it's a lot more complex because they don't have the resources. And if you have 5 or 6 employees, would you rather have a 7th employee or spend an entire employee's salary trying to comply with 10 different sets of tax forms that are due on 10 different dates? You know, so there's a real problem here, and we're trying to lessen the cost of compliance.
Well, I think
can function.
That's right. And I think one of the things that concerns me is that, let's say we do this shift where I get a cut in my state income tax, but I might be paying more in some service taxes, sales taxes. And, of course, the governor's plan is to migrate us away from state income tax altogether back to a service or sales tax model that we used to have in this state. And it would be more of an equalizer. And I think even the Tea Party and others, conservatives, believe that's more of a fair approach to this. I'm not opposed to that. My concern is that we get halfway there. This administration expires. It's time. We're halfway in the middle of this. I still have a state income tax. I have a whole new list of taxes that I'm being, and it's hidden taxes. I mean, the businesses are just going to pass along the increase to me. That tax is going to be in there. I'm not even going to know that it's in there. And so I'm going to be taxed more for services that I'm using. I'm still going to have an income tax. And the next governor might say, you know, we got to increase the sales tax and we got to increase the state income tax. Now I'm really hit. Where do I go now to take these proposals to the budget, to the ballot to oppose the increase in taxes? That's what really concerns me.
Sure, and that's one of the things that that the people in the legislature are concerned about as well, and one of the things that we'll have a discussion, you know, with the public and with the governor's office and that the Senate will have a discussion with the House about is trying to figure out what makes the most sense and how we can lower the overall tax burden without finding ourselves in a situation like that where we now have multiple taxes and we thought they were going away, but they're not. And alternatively, I think we also need to make sure that whatever we do, if we do broaden the base, if you do start to tax services or at least some services, that we have rules in place so that that makes sense. I think right now it would be very difficult for anyone to tell you what the rules are related to where you're located and where your client is located. And you can see how with accounting firms and legal firms and some other big national types of employers, this could cause a problem pretty easily because you could have a client in Kentucky that's headquartered in Delaware and your office is in Cleveland and you're doing work for them. Is that taxed? You know, I think that may be unclear at this point. Let's say it's a company that's in Cleveland and the law firm is in Kentucky, and the law firm is performing the work in Kentucky. Is that taxed? I think we need to sort these types of things out before we decide which way to go. I do want to make one quick point, though, overall.
We're running to the end of the program. Go ahead, Senator.
Sure. I think that to the extent that some of the things that the governor's discussed are groundbreaking or controversial, I think that really shows that he's got a vision about improving the state. Because I think if everybody agrees with you all the time, you're probably not dealing with a difficult question.
That's
you're
true.
Probably not taking on the issues you need to take on. So I think this is a good sign that the governor is serious about trying to improve the state. And I think if you look back at what's happened over the last 2 years, we've got over 120,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate is now a full point below the national rate. We balanced our budget. At the same time that the federal government's credit rating was downgraded, Ohio's was upgraded. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
Well, that's right. And look, Senator, thank you for being on the program today, and our best wishes to you and to the governor and the Ohio legislature as you move forward in this process. And in fact, we encourage everyone to call their local state representative, their state senator, and weigh in on this. Your opinion is most needed at the Ohio State House, and we are certainly praying for those who serve us in public office. Well, you've been listening to Christian News and Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long. We're with you each week on this dial. You can check locations going to our website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And the phone number is 330-887-1922. We look forward to be with you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Christian News in Focus with Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. For more information, please call 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922. Or visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Christian News in Focus is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, where Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 11. Sunday evening services are held at 6 p.m., and the Wednesday prayer and Bible study is at 6:30. Mantua Country Baptist Church is located at 12385 Chamberlain Road in Aurora, Ohio. To contact the church, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Thank you for listening, and be sure and tune in again next week at this time for another edition of Christian News in Focus with Chris Long.